good Thanksgiving? Yes? Ain't too much? Okay, all right. You know, confession's good for the soul. That's all right now. Hey, it is great to be with you here this morning. If you got your Bibles, if you would, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Philippians. Philippians will be where we are in the time that we have together here this morning. We're going to look at a little bit of a text here in the letter that the Apostle Paul has laid out to the church of Philippi. And as I was thinking about what I want to share this morning with you all, and I was praying through some different things and stuff, and I don't know about you all, and you may already know this, but I heard a few weeks ago that because of the way Thanksgiving fell, that we actually have less time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Did y'all know that? All right, there you go. And so I was thinking about, anybody here go Black Friday shopping? Just a couple, okay, very good. We didn't go this year. We have in the past, but this year, I didn't even see any Black Friday ads. I told Trina, I said, you know, I don't even want to look at them. I said, then that way, I don't have to worry about getting up and going, that kind of thing. But I was thinking, I was talking to a gentleman a couple weeks ago, and we were just talking about different things and stuff, and he was talking about how he goes about and does all his shopping and things. And he says, you know, he says, it seems like every year, he goes, I got less and less time to get ready and go shop and things like this because of work and situations and stuff. And he was going through all this stuff that he does, and I'm listening to him and thinking, you've just missed it. Now, this morning's message is not a Christmas message. I'm just telling you right now. But the more I thought about some comments that he made, and I was thinking about being here this Sunday and just praying through some things, I got to thinking, you know, sometimes, and I don't know about you, but, you know, there's folks I know, this time of year is not good at all for us. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe they've lost a loved one, or maybe there's something that's taken place, and the holidays of this time just... they don't look forward to any of that kind of stuff. And you know, then you got the ones on the other side, you know, complete opposite, those that you just like to slap. You know what I'm talking about? You know? I mean, they're putting stuff up in October. I mean, the stores are selling Christmas stuff. We might as well be decorating in October, you know. And so, you know, you want to find that happy medium kind of thing. Well, this morning we're going to look at, like I said, this is a small part of the letter that the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lays out some things to the church of Philippi. So let's pray. And then we will jump in this morning. Father, we are grateful for the day, and we're thankful for all that you have done these past days. Lord, we look forward to the new week you've laid here before us, and we're grateful, Lord, for the time you've given us here this morning to be able to just sing and lift your name up. Father, we know just in a little while we're going to be coming around your table and remembering what you've done for us. But Lord, right now, as we take the next several minutes to look at your word, I pray, Father, that you would open it up to us. And as always, Lord, I invite you to be the editor of this message. You would take away and you would add to it. But God, I also pray that there is someone here this morning, maybe because of situations this past week or this past month, maybe needs to hear a little bit different message. I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would fine-tune those words as they enter their ear and penetrate their heart. Now, Lord, have your way in this place just like it's heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, we're going to look at just a few verses, be reading out of the NIV translation. And let's begin in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Philippians. The Apostle Paul says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's our text. That's it. That's our little old text. in probably about 2 hours I'll be done. I'll try my best not to preach every sermon in these verses. But the thing I need to realize is it's interesting if you look back there for a moment. And I love this whole idea because in this, as Paul is wrapping this letter up to the church of Philippi, if you look at the very first verse that we just read there, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice." I mean, it's just that little reminder. And I don't know about you, but have you had those moments or those times where you just kind of think, you know, I don't really know if there really is anything to rejoice about? Or you have that moment, you know, where maybe you're alone, no one else is around, and the enemy starts flipping through pages in your mind, you know what I'm talking about? And you start dwelling on that kind of stuff, and you're thinking, there really isn't anything here to rejoice about. There's no, woe is me. Or no one else is going through what, and you fill in the blank. And you look at this whole idea, and I think about to myself this first verse here that we've read, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice." How really can we do that? Well, I think as Paul lays this out in these few verses that we read, and we didn't read very many verses, I think we can pull some things out of here. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I always say this because it's just the way it is, I'm just preaching to myself, allowing you to listen. That's all I'm doing because I have to remind myself, you know. I had a guy ask me, it's been several months ago, we were dealing with some things, and he asked me, he just point blank said, he said, "Scott," he says, "are you ever in a bad mood?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. Ask my wife." Yeah, I have those moments. I have those times. I have those times where it's just like, oh my goodness. But even in the midst of all that, I constantly try to remind myself there are things that I need to look at differently. So when we look at this text here, if we file in the back of our mind the whole idea of this rejoicing always, what's one of the things that we can pull out of this? Well, I think one of the first things in the small text that we've read here, and if you are taking notes, I simply entitle this message, "When Times Are Tough, dot, dot, dot." When times are tough. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But the first thing I think I need to look at is this. Don't worry about anything. That's it. Don't worry about anything. Now, I don't know about you, but that's easier said than done, isn't it? Don't worry about anything. But now, I want to tell you something. Think about this for a minute. Is there any newborn babies in the church? Anybody in the last few months, or maybe you know somebody that just had a baby? Anybody? Yeah? No, not really? Yeah? Let me tell you something. That baby's not born as a worrier. Are you hearing me? You're not born a worrier. That's good news, isn't it? I mean, that really is. That's good news. That is. So let's think about this for a minute. How in the world do we end up having this attitude of worrying about stuff if we're not born? Well, we learn it from parents. We learn it from our peers. We learn it through things that are going on in our lives, and we start allowing this stuff to just start festering, and the next thing you know, it seems like we're worrying about everything and anything. I mean, and I don't know if you ever heard the story about the gentleman several years ago. He worried about everything. It just drove him nuts, and it was affecting his health and everything, and there were friends of his praying for him and trying to encourage him, but he worried about everything. You name it, he worried about it. And one day, a friend of his saw him walk out of a coffee shop and almost didn't recognize him because he didn't look like he normally did. And they stopped him and said, you look different. He said, "Oh, I am, and I act different because I feel better. I got good health, and things are going well at work, and things are great at the family." And the guy said to him, said, "Well, what in the world happened? Because the old you worried." He said, "Oh, yeah, I worried about everything." He goes, "I worried so much about it, just about made me sick. It affected my health." And the guy said, "Well, what in the world did you do?" He says, "Well," he says, "I took an ad out and I hired a person to worry for me." And he says, "The way it works is this: when I start to get that in that mode of thinking about it and I start work, I call him up and I tell him what's going on. And he says to me, he goes, 'Okay, I'll worry for you. You don't have to.' And that's it." And he goes, "You know what?" He goes, "It has changed the way I look at life and everything." And his friend said to him, he says, "My goodness, in life, that must not come very cheap." He says, "Oh, I pay the men about $1,000 a month to do this for me." And his friend says, I know what you make where you work. He says, how in the world are you paying that guy $1,000 a month? He goes, that's his worry. So if you think about it for a moment, we don't need to worry about anything, because the thing you need to understand is that we need to have that in our mind, that regardless of what's coming our way or what's happening, don't worry about anything. Think about this for a minute. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 34, he says, NIV translation, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And the thing you need to realize is, now, there's a fine line in here, because I don't think you should walk through the day being one of these wild kind of people because, you know, what I'm getting ready to say. But you know what? You and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. You hearing me? Hello? Is this thing on? Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for that turn. All you and I have is right now. Do you realize that? So don't worry about anything. Which brings us to the second thing, and that's this. Pray about everything. You know what would happen if you and I would pray about the things that we worry about? Do you realize we would end up praying more and worrying less? I mean, think about that for a moment. That if we would allow our brain, our heart to kind of refocus or change direction there, every single time we start to worry about something, we start praying about it. Now, I'll confess something to you. You're recording this, aren't you? I'll confess something to you. It's been quite a few years ago. Quite a few years ago. But I got to the point where I just quit praying. And what happened was, is because I would sit down and start praying about something, my mind would just wander. Anybody ever have that problem? My mind would just, you know, and it was just like, I'd start getting flustered about this. Until finally it dawned on me. The enemy is doing this. And so what I started doing is, I went back to start and praying, and when my mind would wander, I started praying about what it was wandering. Are you hearing me? And I, honest to God, I found myself one day thanking the devil. Because what he ended up doing was he increased my prayer life. You know, my mind don't wander no more. But if you think about it for a moment, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That regardless of what, I mean, is God concerned about house payments? He is. Yeah. You think God's concerned about projects and papers and relationships? Do you think God's concerned about who your next preacher will be? Do you think he's concerned about what's going on in your family, in your neighborhood? Yes. In fact, God is interested in every detail of your life and mine. Isn't that good news? I mean, think about that for a minute. So regardless of what we're going through and what's coming our way, he is concerned. He loves you so much. You know, it's kind of like this whole deal of, you know, well, if God already knows, why do we need to say anything? It's kind of like this, moms and dads. We know our kids love us. It's just nice to hear it, isn't it? Huh? And God's the same way. God knows everything that you and I are going through right now. He knows what we went through. He knows what we're going to go through. And what we need to understand is the more you and I talk to him, pray, not only is he working through things, but it's building that relationship that we have with him. Now, I don't know about you all, but if for some reason I would just decide not to talk to my wife no more, because, I mean, I know she loves me, I love her, things like, we could still be in the same house, what kind of relationship would that be? God wants you and I to communicate. He wants you and I to talk to him. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. What would happen if we would do that? You know, for the longest time, when I was still living over in Illinois, before we moved to Indiana, where I was living, I had a 45, at least a 45-minute drive. And that was my time. And it was always, the running joke was, if you ever was coming the other direction towards me, you would be wondering what in the world was going on in that vehicle. Because that was my time. I mean, I was either praising the Lord because of the songs that I had playing on the CD player or cassette player or the radio, whatever was going on at that time, or I was praying through things and talking to him about things. And nowadays, since you can't have your phone, you got to use the Bluetooth, things like that. Everyone looks crazy, you know what I mean? Because there's nobody in the car, but they're talking to someone, you know. But the thing is, the whole idea, I don't know about you, but I want to keep cultivating that prayer time, that conversation. I mean, there's been times I've been in the store, and I've been talking to God about whatever, and I'm in the I'll tell you, I was at Walmart, it's been a while back, and there was a guy walking through, and he goes, "Was you talking to me?" I said, "No, sir." And before I could say anything else, he just kind of rolled his eyes and walked on. That was the end of it, you know. I should have said God bless, but I didn't. But anyway, but this whole idea, if you and I could cultivate and really work on that prayer life, it ends. And I love when people say this, "Yeah, but I don't know how to pray." Can't you talk? Can I? Forgive me, Lord. You don't have to be able to pray in King James for God to listen. Are you hearing me? And don't get me wrong. There are certain people I love to hear pray. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? There are people I know that, man, I tell you what, it's a sermon. You know, I mean, just you can just tell the relationship they have with the Lord because of the way that they, you know. Now, there's a fine line because, you know, there's probably those who like to pray certain ways because they want people to go, "Oh, wow, did you hear him or hear her?" But I think sometimes what happens is we start thinking that we've got to be like someone else, when in reality what God wants you and I to be is ourselves. And to lay that out. God, here's what I'm dealing with. Lord, here's where I'm at. This is what's going on. Think about that. If you and I would really grow that prayer life and seriously pray about everything, do you think the day would look different? Do you think that the whole attitude of maybe of the household that you were in would be different? Do you suppose where you work would start changing some? Do you suppose that those relationships that you have, they would start looking differently? Do you suppose maybe conversations that you normally have would start changing a different direction because you're finding yourself praying about everything? I had a guy ask me several years ago. He said, "Sir, do you think I need to be praying whether or not I eat a hamburger or a cheeseburger for lunch?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. Do you think you need to? Or is it more maybe you need to be praying, God, should I be eating healthier? You know? Or maybe what it really comes down to is, are you grateful that you have the means to buy that? God has given you the ability and the strength to be able to have a job and to make a living and take care of yourself and your family, and that you're able to go and get that. And not only get that, but you're physically able to digest it and to draw the nutrients out of that in your body for strength to make it. I don't know about you, but in this time of being here, I didn't have to think about my heart beating. I didn't have to think in this time frame for my lungs to inhale and to exhale. Are you hearing me? In the time that we've had here, I really haven't had to focus on making sure that my mouth is bringing those words out that my mind is thinking that's connected to the heart. Are you following me here? There is so much that we take for granted. Shouldn't we pray about everything? Because we got out of bed this morning. Because there are those who cannot. See, we worry about so much stuff, but if we'd stop worrying about everything, and we'd start praying about everything, I truly do, I think things would be different. I really do. So, do not worry about anything. Pray about everything. What about this? Thank God in all things. Look back at your text for a moment. Let's look back there. Rejoice always, Paul says here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I love this whole idea of thank God in all things. Well, but you know, you don't know what I'm going through. I lost my job, or you know, I didn't get that raise, or I didn't get that, or I didn't get that promotion, or you know, I've been saving up, and I was going to buy this, and then all of a sudden the hot water heater went out, or the washing machine broke, or this happened, or that happened, or you know, I didn't have, and it's always going to be that kind of stuff, because guess what? Life happens. I mean, Jesus said himself, in this world, you will have troubles. And the reason that is because we live in a fallen world. There's no getting around that. There's no getting around that sin is evident in this world. That there are evildoers. There is an enemy that you and I have that is out to destroy us. There is an enemy that wants to, Jesus says, to steal, kill, and destroy you and I. So if we can set aside this worrying, it will pray about everything. But if you and I can have this attitude, get this attitude not just in our mind, but in our heart, and thank God in all things. My wife and I, we got to go to a supper last night. We were invited. It was a long kind of story how this happened, but it was a fundraising deal, and it was a meal that was being prepared. And the winner, one of those kind of deals, the people who actually won this meal, they invited Trina and I to come be a part of it. It was a five-course meal. It was one of these things where everything, fine china, fine everything. There's me, you know. And we're getting ready, you know, to go to this. And Trina says to me, she says, well, what are you going to wear? I said, well, what in the world do you think I'm going to wear? I said, I'm not wearing a suit. I said, I won't wear a T-shirt. I said, I know what I'll wear. And she goes, all right, you're going to wear a Hawaiian shirt. I said, well, yeah, that's what I wear. And so that's what I do. And we went. I said, the thing is, I said, sweetie, I said, you're the thing that's beautiful in this relationship, not this. I said, you're the rose among the thorn, and that's all it is. And so we went, and we had a great time, but it was just so funny because the people who prepared the meal, they're serving, and we're sitting there. We're having a great time. The really cool thing about the entire evening was the majority of the conversations the entire evening was about Jesus. And then we got done, and we're thinking this is going to be it, you know. And next thing I know, we're walking in to a 17-foot tall Christmas tree that's gorgeous by this fireplace with a fire going and all. And we're and come in and sit down. Let's just sit down and talk a little bit. And so we're in there, and we're sitting there and we're enjoying this evening. And again, the conversation is about Jesus. Now, I'll confess to you, I was preaching some. It was their fault because they asked a question. And sometimes you ask me a question, it's just like the preaching juices start flowing and boom. We're going to have to pass the offering plate, but we didn't. But anyway, but you know, we just had really had, and here's what's funny. The meal started at 5:30, and we left a quarter after 10. Time just flew, and it was just an evening of just talking about the Lord. And we got in the vehicle. We're getting ready to go. We're getting ready to leave, and went out and started the vehicle and got in there, and we were talking the entire way home. We're just so grateful. We're just so grateful that we got to be a part of that. I mean, it didn't cost us anything. I mean, we got to be with them and have a good time and share the Lord, and just, it was what a wonderful evening. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I'd have drove through Hardee's and got a burger, that'd have been okay too, and I'd have been grateful. Because I don't know about you, I know me. Do you know you? And I know what makes this thing here tick, and I know what ticks this thing off. How about you? And I know my hang-ups and screw-ups and my flaws. I know how there are things that it's harder for me to do than maybe for others. I'll confess, I don't care. I was never good in school. I loved school at the beginning, but something changed, and things didn't come easy. And the running joke in our household is if we're in a bookstore and we buy a Christian book or something, I have Trina read it first because she's a quick reader and she can read and understand everything. And I'm a slow reader. And that means it's going to take me longer to read. And sometimes I have to reread and reread and reread and reread. And I don't care. You can laugh when I'm getting ready to say this. I don't think this will bother me. But I bought quite a few years ago, I bought me a children's NIV Bible. That was third grade edition reading. And there are times when I'm reading my Bible and I'm thinking, okay, what? I'm trying to make this click. I'll pull that out and read what. And I don't care. You know why I don't care? It's because I'm not on this earth for you. And if that helps me understand the Lord more and the walk I need, then so be it. I'm grateful that God just wants to use this. Because I know there's others that could do a far better job. And I know there are others who know a whole lot more. But I don't see them standing here right now. And I'm grateful for every opportunity God gives me to be able to love on people, to share with people, and to be able to open His Word that has been given to me. And I'll tell you right now, I love it when I read things I don't understand. And I'll tell you why I love it. Because it just reminds me that my God's bigger than me. And Isaiah says, as high as the mountains and the sky and everything, so is the thoughts of the Lord. His thoughts and ways are not my thoughts and ways. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad. Because if they were like me, oh, what a world we'd live in. I mean, think about it for a minute. If God had your attitude and my attitude, there'd be nobody on this earth. Are you hearing me? God is patient, the Bible says. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He's patient with you? Aren't you glad that regardless of those times that we do stuff and we redo it, and we know we shouldn't do it, but we do it, aren't you glad that God is patient and wishing none to perish, but all to come to repentance? Thank God about everything, because I deserve hell. I don't deserve His love. And I certainly do not deserve His grace. But His grace has been given freely to us. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. The final thing is this. Think about the right things. Think about the right things. Look back at your text for a moment. And this is the reason, you know, you thought I was joking at the beginning, but this is the reason I got to be careful, or we'll be here for a couple hours, because look at verse 8 here for a moment. Just look at what Paul lays out here. He says to the church of Philippi, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what's he say? Think about such things. I mean, think about this. I look at this verse and there's a sermon within every one of those. And the whole idea is what Paul is saying here is he's wanting us to rethink our thinking. Did you get that? Rethink our thinking. And I look at this verse 8, and the best example I can, or illustration, if you will, I can give you, is I look at this, and my mind wanders to an airport. And I haven't flown a lot, but in the last few years, I've flown more than normal because of meetings and things. And it never fails that you want it. You got to get there early, because you got to get there early. And I learned a long time ago, you know, I don't want to wear high top shoes or anything that's going to, because you walk up there and they're looking at you, and they want to look at your license, they want to look at your ticket, they want to make sure you are you, and then you get in that line, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're pulling off your shoes, you're taking off your belt, you're emptying out your pockets, and everything's going in these little tubs. And if you got a carry on, depending on what it is, if you got a laptop, that's got to come out. All these things have got to come out. They put them on this little conveyor, shoot this thing through this machine, and then you have to walk into this metal detector. And used to, you just walk through it. Now you go in, you gotta stand like an idiot here. It's like you're already assuming the position, and you haven't done anything, and the thing whaps around you, you know? And then usually you can go, and that's it. And I was flying to San Antonio a while back, and I can't think now, last time I was here, I don't know if I walked in here with a cane or not. Did I have a cane when I came last? Anyway, I messed my back up, so there was a while that I was down. I mean, I was walking with a cane, and so in the airport, if it's a metal one, they take it, and they give you a wooden stick. I'd like to beat some of that, but anyway, they gave me a wooden stick because you can't walk in that machine with a metal, you know, and the whole thing is they're checking for foreign objects. They're checking for things that shouldn't be on you, and I'll just tell you real quick. I'm not going there. We'll be here longer. But anyway, if you go through it and it beeps or something, then guess what happens? You have to go to the side, and they're going to search you again. This verse 8 is kind of like that machine. Because everything that we're thinking about, we should walk through and go, okay, God, is this something that's true? You know what would happen if we would just think about true things? There would be a lot less bad things said to people. You know what I'm saying? There would be probably a little less people getting ticked off at you maybe because you're thinking about things that are true. I mean, think about that for a minute. What about things that are noble? What about things that are right? What about things that are pure? If we would just think about pure things, we probably wouldn't have cable TV. Hello? Is this thing on? Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking TV. I'm not, but you know what I'm saying? Because I think sometimes we got to be careful because there are sometimes we think as a Christian we can do whatever we want. Hello? But think about that. If we would take our mind, our heart, and walk it through, do you think we would act differently? Would we think differently? Would we talk differently? I mean, think again. Look at that list. He says whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. You know what's amazing? There are more times it seems like we're willing to say something in a negative, bad way about something than a positive, good way. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. And I don't know who's going to listen to this. I'll probably get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, so this is the 30th anniversary of the Christmas Vacation movie. And so Vincennes, our guy who's in charge of finding the trees and things like that, decided this was Christmas Vacation. And downtown, they've got a tree. It looks like it's been through the war. There's a motorhome sitting there. Cousin Eddie, there's a Cousin Eddie mannequin out there. There's a station wagon with a Christmas tree with the root system still on it. And I didn't get a chance to go down there last night for the tree light and that kind of stuff. But it's social media is already blowing up. You either like it or you hate it. And you know what amazes me is the people who put this together, they do it every year, and they don't get any money for it. They're trying to make some. A few years ago, they did the Charlie Brown Christmas, and they had a Charlie Brown tree. I love Charlie Brown. I just do. And there were people either loving or hating. I'm thinking, you know, you people need to get a life or something, because can't you just be glad someone did something? I mean, you know, think of it. We tend to bicker or gripe or growl or be negative at something someone did. Why can't you just be thankful someone did something? Because if everyone stops doing something, who's going to do it? You know, my thinking is, you want to gripe? There you go. Take it over. Go do it. Do you understand that when you have that negativity and that attitude, do you realize that did not, now listen to me, that did not come from above? Are you hearing this? That did not come from Jesus. That came from the enemy. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. Think about the right thing. You know what's neat about that? If we'll do this, if we'll try to change that in our life, look at verse 7. I think it's interesting how we are given the outcome before it's all said. Look at verse 7, if you would, for a minute. Well, let's just back up. Let's back up and hit verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Not just the mind, but the heart. It will guard that. That peace of Christ. I don't know about you, but I could use some more peace. Anybody else? I just could because you know what? Life is chaotic, isn't it? It just is. And it's amazing, I think, as I said at the very beginning, this whole idea of this time of year, it amazes me because there are people who get so flustered and so stressed out that all of a sudden, next thing you know, Christmas has become a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? It's become a nightmare. It's become a burden. It's not a blessing. It's become a burden. It's just, oh my goodness. And let me tell you something. Regardless of what you think or how things are going, Christmas is still a good thing. And it is. It's because God gave the greatest gift for you and me. Think about that. Now, as we wrap up here this morning, flip over to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. I want to read to you something that Paul says here to the Thessalonians. And it's interesting because it sounds like what we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Three short verses here, 16, 17, 18. Look what Paul says. He says this. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? And regardless of what you and I are going through, regardless, we need to be joyful. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on, we can find something good. You know those people? Those people who've never met a bad person, they've always found the good in people. They've always found the good in the situations and the circumstances. I've known a handful of those in my lifetime. They just find the good. I want to be like that, don't you? That regardless of what's going on, you, in whatever's happening, you find the good. You know, I wish I could tell you that I've got all that figured out. I don't. But you know I'm trying. How about you? I'm trying to make myself, when things don't go right, you know, those moments, those interruption moments, those times where something happens, maybe you're in a hurry or this is going on, that's going on, and then all of a sudden something bad happens. I'm trying to step back and go, okay, God, what can I learn from this? Or who am I supposed to be looking for? We were still working. This is early on after Hurricane Florence hit in the Carolinas. I was leaving. I was supposed to have left on Saturday, but things didn't work out right. So I left on a Sunday afternoon, and I was pulling our tool trailer down to where we were working in North Carolina. And this trailer had just come back from Hurricane Harvey. We moved it from Texas back up to Indiana, and then now I was taking it down there. And what's interesting is as I'm rolling through, it's getting later in the day, of course, and I'm getting ready to go through what they call the gorge, kind of the point of no return. And I blew not one but two tires on the trailer, same side, going, you know, 70 miles down, you know, an hour down the interstate, truck, everything, blow these two tires. I'm going off the side of the road. I pull off there, and this is about a quarter to. And I call a friend of mine that we had met because of the Tennessee wildfires. And I said, hey, here's what's going on. I said, you know, if anybody close or in this area that could come and help me, I said, I've blown two tires. And I said, I have a spare and I have a tire, but it's not on the rim. See, what's funny is we blew a tire in Texas down there, and the place we pulled in, the guy looked at all the tires and said, buddy, I think I would replace all these tires. And so we replaced all the tires in that trailer, and they had five tires, and I only need four, but I told the guy, I said, you know what, because he gave me such a great deal, I said, I'll buy that fifth one and just throw it in the trailer. Because one of these days I'll need it. I didn't think it'd be that soon, but anyway, and so he so my friend calls me back and says, hey, he says, I got a hold of a guy who's out on a run, and it's probably going to be an hour, hour and a half before he can get to you. Is that okay? And I said, well, what else am I going to do? I mean, I'm on the side of the interstate here, and you know, I mean, yeah. And so anyway, and so about an hour and a half later, this guy rolls in, big box truck, and rolls in, and he's driving, and his wife come with him, and I didn't know it was his wife at the time, but there was a gal in there, and he gets out, and I tell him my name, he tells me his name, and he comes walking up and says, well, looks like you got a little problem. I said, yeah, I do. And he says, so we're going to have to go get a tire. I said, no. I said, guess what? I said, I've got a spare, and I've got a tire, but no rim. And he goes, that's no problem. So he goes back in and starts the generator up, and he got the lights out there. The lights come on, and then he starts up the air compressor, because it's a separate thing. And we're out there, and he's starting to work and jack things up, and we're just talking and things like this and everything like that. And about that time, the generator that's running the lights stops and runs out of fuel. And the guy goes, well, I'll be right back, and comes back and says, you know, he says, it really drives me nuts when my employees take this truck out and don't refill things. And so now his cell phone and my cell phone I'm holding, and he is changing tires by cell phone lights. And so we get it all done and everything, you know, and this kind of stuff. And he's writing out my bill and everything like that, you know, and we're talking and everything. And we finally get done. I said, before you leave, I said, is there anything I can pray for you for? And he looked at me and he says, what? And I said, is there anything I can pray for? I said, I don't think it's a coincidence that it was you that came out here and all this took place and everything. And as tears started welling up in his eyes, he started sharing with me what his daughter was going through. And for the next 45 minutes, along that busy interstate, God gave me the opportunity to love on that man and his wife and pray for them. And when I got done praying, I was putting my hand out, and the guy scared the daylights out of me because he gave me the biggest hug. He's a big old guy, and I thought, this is going to look funny on the interstate. And so he got back in the truck, and I got back in my truck, and in between semis and cars, I pulled out, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm thanking the Lord for the opportunity. I thought to myself, God, couldn't we've just blown one tire? But do you realize it had to be two? Because it had been one, I could have taken care of it myself. I believe with all my heart God sets things up every single day for us. And I truly believe that if we stop worrying about stuff, start praying about everything. And we thank the Lord even in the midst of whatever's going on. We're thinking of all things. Think about things that are really true. I think we'll walk through the dangerous place. I think we will. And the good news is he wants that for every single one of us. It's not just for I don't know where you are this morning anymore. I don't know, but God knows. And there's an invitation out there. If you don't know Jesus, oh my goodness, please don't leave without being introduced to the greatest Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you are a Christian and you've been struggling with things, hey, guess what? I don't know if you remember, but it's a new day. And regardless of what's taking place in the past, God will help you get through whatever. Let's pray. God, thank you for the day. Thank you for the church here as your blessing on each one. And Lord, right now, we have this time of invitation. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would be working on us. Stirring us. Help us, Lord. Help us to stop worrying about stuff. Help us to pray about everything. God, help us to have this attitude of giving thanks, being thankful for what you did. And God, help us to think about the right things. Lord, we know that if we can get this right, Lord, your peace will be upon us. That peace that transcends all understanding will guard both our heart and mind. Be precious. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We ask this in Jesus' name.